You're listening to the Becker Satellite Network.
I am your host, William Cooper. This program is sponsored by the Becker Satellite Network on SpaceNet 2, Channel 7, 7.5 audio. For those of you who have a satellite dish, you can hear this show on the Becker Satellite Network Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Becker Satellite Network is the only alternative satellite radio network. Don't miss it.
You're tuned to the Becker Satellite Network.
Hello, folks. This is William Cooper. Welcome to the Hour of the Time, the only hour that ever was or ever will be. This is the most important hour in your entire life, for during this hour, you will decide your future, and thus our collective futures. From the headquarters of this Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, due to secret manipulations of the money market, the dollar hit a record low since World War II of 1 to 1.4 Deutschmarks. The British pound plummets. Sweden's lending rate hiked 500%. Finnish marka and Italian lira devalued. The Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence Network tells us that we are poised upon the brink of the worst depression that the world has ever known. Stay tuned to find out how you can avoid complete and total financial ruin in the coming months and years.
We'll be right back.
Welcome, folks. Not good news, again, I'm afraid, but it is the true news. It's not the baloney that you're being handed out by the administration or by the establishment media. And you won't hear it on any other radio talk show or media show or from any other media station, simply because this program is the only program that has the guts to tell you what really matters. So all this other garbage that you're hearing everywhere else doesn't mean a hill of beans compared to what's happening to our economy right this moment. Let me give you a little background into what our forefathers thought about all this debt. Our forefathers, folks, believed in economy and spending and in prompt payment of public debt. The founders' formula for fiscal responsibility, you're going to find out about right now. This is a quote from Thomas Jefferson. "We must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude," unquote. Article 1, Section 8 grants Congress the power, quote, "to borrow money on the credit of the United States," unquote, and, quote, "to pay the debts," unquote. These powers, however, were granted only for the very strictly enumerated purposes spelled out in that section of the Constitution. America's founders shared a strong underlying philosophy about our national debt. Jefferson advised us that when a question on constitutional intent arises, we should carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted, recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and conform to the probable one in which it was passed. That's a direct quote. Let's examine the founders' own words on public spending and debt. They believed in economy and frugality. Thomas Jefferson said this, "I place economy among the first and most important of Republican virtues, and public debt as the greatest of the dangers to be feared." They also believed it wrong for government to take the earnings of some in order to give them to others. Quote, "If we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them, they must become happy," unquote. Thomas Jefferson again. Quote, "The utopian schemes of leveling," which means redistribution of wealth, "and a community of goods," which is common ownership or communism, "are as visionary and impractical as those which vest all property in the crown. These ideas are arbitrary, despotic, and in our government, unconstitutional," unquote. Samuel Adams. Our forefathers also believed in limiting government spending and taxing powers to the principles of the Constitution. Quote, "This is the tendency of all human governments. A departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, till the bulk of society is reduced to be mere automatons of misery. And the forehorse of this frightful team is public debt. Taxation follows that, and in its train, wretchedness and oppression." Thomas Jefferson. They also believed debt to be dangerous to a nation. Quote, "No pecuniary," which means fiscal, "consideration is more urgent than the regular redemption and discharge of the public debt," unquote. George Washington said that. Quote, "I go on the principle that a public debt is a public curse," unquote. James Madison said that. They also believed the debt to be a threat to individual liberty. Quote, "But ah, think what you do when you run in debt. You give another power over your liberty," unquote. Benjamin Franklin. Our forefathers believed the debt to be a form of taxation without representation on the young and unborn. Think about this. Quote, "The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale. We shall all consider ourselves unauthorized to saddle posterity with our debts and morally bound to pay them ourselves, unquote. Thomas Jefferson. Our forefathers also believed public credit to be a source of strength and security if wisely used, but only for the defense of the nation. Quote, as a very important source of strength and security, cherish public credit. One method of preserving it to use it as sparingly as possible, avoiding likewise the accumulation of debt, not only by shunning occasion of expense, but by vigorous exertions in time of peace to discharge the debts which unavoidable wars may have occasioned, not ungenerously throwing upon posterity the burthen, which means burden, which we ourselves ought to bear. The execution of these maxims belong to your representatives. But it is necessary that public opinion should cooperate, unquote. George Washington. As President Washington recognized, dear listeners, it is the people, in the final analysis, who must put a stop to government's excessive spending, which funds current programs by robbing future generations. As he said, Congress must execute spending cuts, but it is public opinion which will force them to do it and nothing else. You see, they believed, and I believe, in fact I know, that when we create a huge public debt that our posterity, in other words, the future generations, must repay, then we have cheated them. We have cheated them. We have defrauded them. For we have taxed them without them being represented in that taxation or in the decision to do it. It is the reason why we had the revolution in this country. We were taxed without representation, and now we are throwing it upon our children and grandchildren, taxation without representation. Our forefathers knew that to be folly. I tell you again, it is folly, and it must stop. It is absolutely imperative that it must stop. There must be a limitation of government's power to tax and spend, the constitutional safeguard for individual property rights. Thomas Jefferson said, quote, it was intended to lace them up straightly within the enumerated powers, unquote. In Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, the people grant to Congress very limited powers to spend and tax. The founders restricted the purpose of that power to, quote, the common defense and general welfare of the United States, unquote. Immediately following that statement, the founders listed the only specific government expenses for which it had the power to tax, and these are to borrow money, to regulate commerce with foreign nations among the several states and with the Indian tribes, to establish a uniform rule of naturalization and uniform laws of bankruptcies, to coin money, regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin, to fix the standard of weights and measures, to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and coin of the United States, to establish post offices and post roads, to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries, to constitute tribunals, to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations, to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for longer term than 2 years, to provide and maintain a navy, to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the nation, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia, to exercise exclusive legislation over such a district as may become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States. And then they tied the knot, binding the federal government to their wishes by asserting in Article 10, quote, "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution are reserved to the states respectively or to the people," unquote. Jefferson, Madison, and others made it clear in their writings that the founders' intention was to limit the kinds of expenses Congress had the right to incur and to restrict its taxing power to cover only those expenses which were specifically listed within the Constitution. The powers to spend and tax were bound tightly together. Further, they clarified the term general welfare as meaning that even those enumerated expenses were to be incurred only for the benefit of all the states, not for the benefit or welfare of certain states or special groups of people. Our founders had just declared their new nation free from a British government that had, quote, "sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and impose taxes on us without our consent," unquote. You see, they had no intention of forming another government which would itself possess that same power. Instead, dear listeners, they wish to secure the individual rights of future generations of Americans from infringement by government. A further evidence of their intent to confine government's power to spend and tax was their insistence that any expansion of these powers would have to come about through the slow and deliberate constitutional amendment process. No amendment to increase the enumerated spending powers had been enacted. We should examine carefully our documents of freedom. And I know that most people do not own them, do not have a copy of the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, and you should hang your heads in shame, for if you do not know what these documents contain, if you cannot talk about them intelligently and quote from them exactly verbatim, then you know nothing about your own country. And when you talk about the United States of America or the rights of the American people or what America means, you are just dribbling babble, meaningless babble. We should always examine carefully our documents of freedom, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the writings of the founders, which when combined leave no doubt about their intent to set constitutional limits on the government's power to take away the earnings of its citizens. In the words of Andrew Jackson, quote, "There have always been those who wish to enlarge the powers of the general government. There is but one safe rule: confine it within the sphere of its appropriate duties. It has no power to raise a revenue or impose taxes except for the purposes enumerated in the Constitution. Every attempt to exercise power beyond these limits should be promptly and firmly opposed," unquote. The subject of gold and silver coin, the constitutional basis for a sound currency, folks, is of tremendous significance. Article 1, Section 8 says, "The Congress shall have power to coin money and regulate the value thereof." Article 1, Section 10 says, "No state shall coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts." Folks, there is no amendment to the Constitution that has in any way altered these provisions. Paper is liable to be abused, has been, is, and forever will be abused in every country in which it is permitted. Thomas Jefferson said that over two centuries ago. Records of the constitutional debates, folks, clearly show that the founders specifically denied Congress the power to print paper money. We can be certain of this because the original draft of Article 1, Section 8 included the words, "and emit bills of credit of the United States." Bills of credit were understood by all folks to mean paper money. Paper money. James Madison's record states, quote, "This was a favorable moment to shut and bar the door against paper money," unquote. And the founders firmly rejected the phrase and by an overwhelming vote struck it from the Constitution. Later, when Article 1, Section 10 was debated, the founders further barred the door on paper money. The original draft wording read only, "No state shall coin money." Madison's account here is brief. Quote, "Mr. Wilson and Mr. Sherman moved to insert after the words coin money the words, nor emit bills of credit, nor make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, making these prohibitions absolute," unquote. To understand fully the actions of the founders, we must examine the history of money. As Jefferson said, folks, paper money has been abused in every country in which it has been permitted. Even in America, in the years just prior to the adoption of the Constitution, the Continental Congress issued bills of credit, which were nothing more than fiat money or paper currency. The inflated paper currency imposed a cruel tax on the citizens, just as it has in all other countries, and they lost their fortunes. "Not worth a continental" describes perfectly the dollar, which in 1779 was worth only a penny. A further reason for the founders' action was their desire to restrain the state governments from flooding the country with unbacked paper money. Some states were already issuing bills of credit. Some, like Rhode Island, even forced its circulation by attempting to punish citizens for refusal to use it. Josiah Quincy wrote to George Washington, quote, "There never was a paper pound, a paper dollar, or a paper promise of any kind that ever yet obtained became a general currency but by force or fraud, and generally by both," unquote. Inflation, deflation, and depression all had brought misery to the new nation, prompting Washington to write, "Good God! Who could have foreseen or predicted the disorders which have arisen in these states?" Direct quote, folks, in a 1787 letter to General Knox. It is at this point that the Constitutional Convention convened in Philadelphia. Those who had experienced such trauma were determined to do something to restrain their government from issuing paper money and forcing it into circulation. Thus it was that on August 16, 1787, they approved Section 8 of the Constitution barring Congress from the right to print paper money. Barring Congress from the right to print paper money, and on August 18th, they framed Section 10 prohibiting, quote, "the friends of paper money," unquote, from going through the state legislatures. Soon after the adoption of these two articles, the tide turned and the nation began to prosper. Its economic ills began to disappear. Its leaders rejoiced. In 1790, George Washington said that revenues were considerably more productive than it was imagined they would be. Spirit of enterprise prevails, unquote. And exclaimed, quote, "Our public credit stands on that high ground which 3 years ago it would have been considered madness to have foretold. The United States enjoys a sense of prosperity and tranquility under the new government that could hardly have been hoped for," unquote. The Pennsylvania Gazette on December 16, 1789 declared, quote, "Since the federal constitution has removed all danger of our having a paper tender, our trade has advanced 50%. Our people can trust their cash and have brought their coin into circulation," unquote. The founders, folks, lifted the nation from economic depression to prosperity and progress. They did it by a constitutional mandate for a sound currency, one which the government could not manipulate, one that had intrinsic value for the citizens holding it. The Constitution protected the individual's right to own precious metals and to use them as a medium of exchange, and the results were amazing, even to Mr. Washington. Andrew Jackson said this in his 8th annual message to Congress in 1836. "It is apparent from the whole context of the Constitution as well as the history of the time which gave birth to it
that it was the purpose of the convention to establish a currency consisting of the precious metals. These were adopted by a permanent rule excluding the use of a perishable medium of exchange or the still more pernicious expedient of paper currency. Folks, the Constitution has never been changed. Our money has been counterfeited. Our coinage has been debased. It is all illegal, unconstitutional, and because of it, we are going down the tubes. We are on the brink of the abyss. The greatest depression the world has ever known is just on the horizon, and we are just in the beginning phases of that depression. There are things that we can do, and that is the purpose of this program. You are listening to The Hour of the Time, and my name is William Cooper. I am your host. And folks, you can hear this program every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night on the Becker Satellite Network, SpaceNet 2, Channel 7, 7.5 audio. On worldwide shortwave radio, WWCR, 7.435 kilohertz. That's 7435 kilohertz on the shortwave dial every Sunday night at midnight Central Standard Time. If you like this show, if you would like to help keep this show on the air, then you need to join CAGI, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. That's CAGI, C-A-J-I, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. This is our intelligence network, folks, and most of the information that you ever hear on this show comes from our intelligence network, CAGI. If you would like to be a part of it and help keep this show on the air, help save the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, this country, and thus freedom for the world, then send your membership fee, $45, that's $45, to the Becker Satellite Network, Kiowa, Kansas, 67070. That's the Becker Satellite Network, Kiowa, Kansas, 67070. You'll get a certificate, a membership card, which entitles you to discounts at my lectures and workshops across this country. You will receive the CAGI newsletter. You will have access to our computer bulletin board system and all of the research files in the database. You will also be privy to special discounted offers for CAGI members only. For instance, for CAGI members only, right now, if you've always wanted a satellite system but couldn't afford one because they're $1,200, $1,500, $2,000 for a system, right now, for CAGI members only, $550 plus postage and handling. How about that, folks? This is just one of the kind of special offers that our CAGI members will get, and nobody else will have access to these offers, period. We don't care who you are. If you're not a CAGI member, you can't get these special offers. Our members will also be able to downlink from satellite via their satellite system, their dish, encrypted computer files for their own research information. Only they will have the code to decrypt these computer files, which will be put up on satellite for the use of CAGI members only 3 days each week. Don't forget, send your membership fee in now. Send your check or money order for $45, that's $45, to the Becker Satellite Network, Kiowa, Kansas, 67070. And while you're at it, send $24, that's $24, for my book, Behold a Pale Horse. That's 500 pages of the most well-documented, most suppressed information ever published in the history of the world. I have been told that by experts who know. $24, that includes postage and handling, to the Becker Satellite Network, Kiowa, Kansas, 67070. Last week, you learned that the Federal Reserve is not an agency of the federal government, but a private corporation, which invents money out of thin air as a bookkeeping entry, loans it to the United States government to insure the loan, gives the Federal Reserve a treasury bond upon which the Federal Reserve collects interest. So we have to pay back this money that never existed in the first place. It is theft. It is theft, folks. Plus, we have to pay back the interest that was never created. When we pay back the interest that was never created, somebody has to get poorer and poorer. The middle class begins to shrink. Okay, you understand that? Now, there's another way that they steal money from us. They practice fractional reserve lending, which means that they can lend out money that is not actually in the bank based upon a certain amount of reserves. They lend it in the form of credit. This can be compounded over a long period of time. It has been compounded for long that our banks are insolvent. There is no money in the banks. To try to get money to pay back these loans when the money didn't exist in the first place and it was created out of thin air, plus pay back the interest, the middle class shrinks even more. To prevent the public from finding out that they are being robbed, that their entire country is being stolen right out from under their feet, they create another private organization called the Internal Revenue Service, incorporated in the state of Delaware, to pull money out of circulation and thus slow the rampant inflation caused by the creation of worthless paper and putting it into the economy. They take this money out of circulation. It is paid to the Federal Reserve, not the United States Treasury. It is taken this country and is used to help destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America. Eventually, inflation goes far beyond the expectations of anyone, and the American dream is destroyed. We are so far in debt now that no means to pay it back exists, cannot be paid back. You also learned that the only way to solve this problem is to audit the Federal Reserve, nationalize the Federal Reserve, arrest all who were connected with its creation and with its ownership, seize their assets, print United States notes upon which we do not have to pay any interest whatsoever, based upon the good faith and credit of the United States of America. While we build up our reserves of gold and silver, and once again issue constitutional, legal, and solid money based upon the backing of the wealth that comes from the land, the only wealth that there really is. This is what you learned. Now, if anyone opposes or resists that, it must be backed by the full force of our military might. And if this is not done, we are doomed. Doomed. You don't believe it, folks. You do the research yourself. The Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence has spent years researching this. Years. As have many other people in many other groups. Why have you never heard this before? Because no one else has the guts to put it out over the air, because people have been killed to hide this. President Lincoln was killed because he printed United States notes and went against the idea of a central bank privately owned. John F. Kennedy was killed in Dealey Plaza by the secret societies, who are the world bankers, through their arm of Freemasonry, because he had ordered also a printing of United States notes, some of which actually got into circulation. I've taken great risk to bring you this information, and now I'm going to tell you how you can survive the coming months and years. But understand this. Any effort to preserve your assets above and beyond protecting the Constitution and the Bill of Rights will result in the loss of your ass, period. And I don't mean the one out there in the barnyard. The only thing that protects your assets or has ever protected your assets and your freedoms and every other thing that we enjoy in this country is the Constitution of the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. We are being destroyed from within, folks, by the members of the secret societies who have infiltrated all levels of our society, government, and military. We have not been invaded by the evil empire. No one has breached our shores. The reason you could never see the enemy is because the enemy is your uncle, your brother, your father, your mother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your grandfather, your grandmother, if they belong to these secret societies, which have an organizational structure in the shape of a pyramid, with a whole bunch of slathering idiots on the bottom, thirsting after the secrets that they will never learn, and a few at the top controlling them. Now, I'll give you my standard admonition that I give at all of my lectures, all of my workshops. You must not believe anything that you hear on this program or in any other program. from Tom Valentine, from Larry King, from Rush Limbaugh, from Dan Rather, from anyone, folks, not from Chuck Carter, not from Ted Koppel, not from George Bush, not from Bill Clinton, not from even your mother, unless you do some research to substantiate it. Because the deception is so deep in this country and in the world today to bring about the one world government and destroy the sovereignty of nations, that indeed short people are in serious danger of drowning. And yes, I meant that to be a little humor, and I also meant it to be very serious. You hear people telling you what investments to make. Now, I'm not an investment counselor. I'm not a financial analyst. I have no license or specific authority to tell you what I'm going to tell you. So I'm going to tell you what I would do in the coming months and years, because legally I cannot give you financial advice. But this is what I would do if I were you. And this is based upon the thorough research of all of the operatives and financial specialists within the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. Some of their names would surprise you. For we have operatives at all levels of society, government, and the military. You have been told that the stock market is a good investment. I am going to tell you that I believe, through the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, that the stock market is going to collapse. I believe it will not stabilize it until it reaches approximately 500. 500. This is what I believe. Now remember, I'm not giving you advice. I'm not giving you advice. I'm telling you what I believe, what the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence has informed us, and what I would do in the coming years if I were you. Remember, I'm not giving you advice of any kind. Period. I believe that, as people always have in the past, they will begin to buy gold and silver, and the price of gold and silver will shoot up through the roof. I believe the dollar will be devalued approximately 100 to 1, which means a dollar will be worth a penny. A penny. I believe this is coming, folks. It is coming. If it doesn't happen, it will surprise me. But even if it's not devalued that much, it must be devalued by at least as much as 10, which means a dollar would be worth 10 cents. Gold and silver will shoot through the roof, according to the calculations of our intelligence operatives in the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. We believe that those who have been hoarding the gold supplies of the world for centuries will then open their vaults and flood the market with gold and silver, causing a crash of the gold and silver markets. People fearing for their security will then dump all their gold and silver, and it will be bought by these same people who flooded the market at dirt cheap rates, leaving them with the only supplies of gold and silver in the world. Understand what I'm telling you. When everything stabilizes out, I believe that the price of gold will be around $2,500 or $3,000 an ounce. Silver will be between $150 and $250 an ounce. Ownership of gold and silver by the common people will be outlawed. But as always, always, in repressive regimes and under despots, a black market will thrive. And anyone who has gold or silver coins which are recognizable to the common man will be wealthy beyond his wildest dreams. I also hear people recommending that you buy real estate. We believe here at the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence that real estate prices will plummet by as much as 85% and will only retain approximately 15% of its present value. We realize that many people are recommending numismatic coins, our collector coins of extremely fine quality, as good investments in the coming depression. We believe that that advice is erroneous. Now remember, we're not giving you advice. We're not telling you what to do. We have no authority to do that. We are just telling you what we believe and what we would do were we in your shoes. You see, because in the depression that is coming, there will be no outlet, there's no market for collector or numismatic coins. No one will have any money except the extreme wealthy. And they will be able to dictate the price according to their terms, because your only other alternative will be the pawn shop. We believe that you will only be able to collect a small spot above the true value of the metal in the coin. Therefore, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence believes that the only truly, truly safe investments are these. Are these, folks. Junk silver. That is bags of silver dimes, quarters, 50 cent pieces, or dollars, silver dollars, which are not of collector value because they have been worn, but they are still recognizable to the common man as being an authentic, real silver coin. You see, because in the situation that is coming, the common man will not be able to tell whether what you are showing him is real gold or real silver. So silver or gold in bullion form will be rejected by the common man, since he will have no way of knowing if you have just poured a small coating of gold over a lead bar or a small coating of silver over a lead or iron bar. So to protect himself, the common man will accept only gold or silver coins which he can recognize as being legitimate gold or silver coins, which means Krugerrands, pandas, maple leafs, silver dollars, silver quarters, silver dimes that can be recognized by the common man. If the common man cannot recognize the coin, he will reject it. The coins will always be worth the value of the gold or silver by actual weight that they contain. As in the past, as in history, you will always be able to buy the same amount of bread with a gold coin, always. As the dollar devalues, the value of gold will increase, the value of silver will increase. As money becomes scarce, the value of gold and silver will increase. Now remember this, we're not telling you not to buy or not to invest in other things. We're telling you what we believe and the reasons why we believe these things. We are not giving you advice. In fact, we recommend that you do not believe anything that you hear on this show or on any other show, or that you read, or indeed that you hear from your own mother, unless you thoroughly investigate it and determine that it is indeed true. Anyone who accepts the word of anyone else in this day and this time is indeed a fool and will pay for that foolishness in the coming months and years. Folks, we believe that in the coming months and years, everyone should have a plot of land big enough to be able to grow food and to keep some animals. And one of those animals should probably be a horse, because a horse can pull a plow, can pull a wagon, can pull around in a circle to pump water up from a well, and many other things. Times are going to get tough. Times are going to get hard if the indications that we are seeing worldwide portend what we believe that they portend. And that is a worldwide depression of unbelievable proportions. We believe that you should pay for your land in gold or silver coin, coin of the realm, and you should insist upon and pursue through the courts, for however long you must pursue it, the original allodial patent deed to the land. Not a warrant deed, not a certificate of title. For those indicate that you do not truly own the land, and then you must pay taxes, which is a form of rental payment to the true owner. You see, in 1938, the United States declared bankruptcy and pledged as collateral on the loans to become solvent again all of the property and natural resources of the United States of America. In fact, all of the resources, natural or otherwise, of the United States of America. And that debt, of course, has not ever been repaid. In fact, the debt is so out of sight that it cannot be repaid. Because money has been created that doesn't exist. Money has been loaned that doesn't exist. And interest must be repaid that was never, ever created in the first place. We are on the verge of total and complete economic collapse unless the measures that I have already outlined are carried out. In full. In full. Congress knows this. And in my estimation, they are helping to destroy this country by not fulfilling their duty and by allowing illegal counterfeit money to be printed, to be created out of thin air, to have to pay back money that never existed along with interest on that money, which is destroying the lifeblood of this country, the American dream, the middle class. And by allowing fractional reserve lending to lend money in the form of credit which does not even exist based upon a small reserve. This is treasonous. This is treasonous action. And these people are traitors if they continue in the direction that they have taken us, because this country cannot survive. Cannot survive. Good investments, folks, will be in good clothing that will last for many years. Warm clothing if you're in a place where there are winters. Solar power for your home and for your heating. Because the price of oil, gas, heating oil will go through the roof. You will not be able to afford it. You must take the necessary steps now. You should congregate in communities who will be mutually supportive. And you should have a good number of different people who can do different things. There should be a doctor, a dentist, a carpenter, a plumber, etc., etc., in your community. If you can, learn how to develop a bartering system amongst yourselves. Everyone in this country, I believe, is obligated as a citizen to own a weapon according to the second article and amendment to the Constitution to make sure that you stay free. And you should form, as it states in the Constitution, a well-regulated militia, which the Senate has designated as a universally armed people, and the dictionary defines as every man or boy between the ages of 18 and 45 who will own a weapon and 100 rounds of ammunition. For your mutual protection, folks. For your mutual protection. So, you need land big enough to grow food and raise animals so that you can be self-supporting. You need to be in a community of people where you can barter goods and services amongst each other and be mutually supportive and organize a well-regulated militia for your protection. Good investments are things that you will need during hard times. a storage of food, at least 2 years' supply. Good, clothing that will last a long time and that will keep you warm in the winter. Solar or wind or water power for your home. For your home. Gold or silver coins, what we call junk coins, of the smallest denomination. Remember, the smallest denomination that are readily recognized and understood to be of value by the common man. By the common man. Remember, some things that you take for granted now may not be available to you during a depression. Things such as Kotex tampons, things such as toilet paper, things that might be valuable in a prison. Understand that many, many items will be scarce or non-existent. And these are things that you must remember to stock up on. Remember, some of the things that you do not pay much attention to because they are so common in your life, that you may overlook these things. Toothbrushes, toothpaste, mouthwash. Understand, folks, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you that we believe that a depression is imminent. Indeed, it is upon us now. You see, we're being told, folks, that the unemployment rate is 7-point-some-odd percent. And that is not a true figure. For they only measure those who are actively drawing unemployment checks. People whose unemployment benefits have expired are no longer counted as being unemployed. People on welfare are not counted as being unemployed. The homeless in the streets are not counted as being unemployed. The true unemployed figure for this country right at this moment, folks, is somewhere around 15% or higher. Or higher. Right now in this country, we have almost as many homeless and maybe more homeless than there were in the Great Depression of the late 20s and early 30s. We already have food lines in this country, folks. The unemployed are growing constantly. You're going to see with the completion of these free trade agreements between Mexico and Canada, the mass migration of American companies out of this country. You're going to see the standard wage of the American family drop precipitously. Precipitously. We believe these things are going to happen. We're telling you don't believe it unless you can confirm it in your own research. We're not giving you advice. We're telling you what we would do were we in your place. We're telling you what the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence through our intelligence network has found. We hope this will be of aid to you in the coming months and years, should in your own investigation and research you determine that we are correct in our conclusions. We believe that we are. If you can prove us wrong, please write us a letter and do so, for we certainly do not want to be disseminating wrong information. We are concerned about this country. We are deeply concerned about the dangers to the Constitution and to the Bill of Rights and to the economy of this country, and indeed of the world. If the United States falls, folks, if the Constitution is destroyed, if the Bill of Rights is relegated to the trash can, freedom will cease to exist upon the face of this earth, all over this earth. For the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are the only bastion, the only beacon, the only hand holding the torch of freedom. And the people in this country are the only people in the history of the world who have ever truly been free. Sovereign kings in their own right, with the government as their chattel servant. We've told you what has happened and why.
in coming episodes of The Hour of the Time, you're going to learn who shot President Kennedy and why. We're going to tell you where the world is headed. We're going to tell you, according to our research, what is happening. And unlike other talk shows and other media and other stations, you will never hear trivia on The Hour of the Time. You will only hear the most important issues that we must confront in order to stay free. So we're not going to talk about a lot of the things that you're going to hear on the Tom Valentine Show or the Chuck Carter Show or the Larry King Show or the Rush Limbaugh Show or from Dan, rather, or from Mr. Koppel. On this show, you will only hear what's absolutely important for the survival of this country, of us, and of our children. We will go down the tubes. We cannot disperse our energies in cul-de-sacs, in areas that will ensure our demise. We must stop fighting amongst each other, for truly, all peoples, no matter what their race or their religion, are just people who are concerned with feeding their family and being happy and enjoying some of the good things of life. And it is those who wish to enslave us, who pit us against each other, and while we are fighting each other, they are going about their business of putting the chains upon the ankles of all of us. Folks, we care about you. Care about us. Help keep this program on the air. Join the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. $45 for the Becker Satellite Network, Iowa, Kansas, 67070. That's $45 for your CAGI membership, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. Help save the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, this country, and thus freedom for the world, and help keep this show on the air. $45 to the Becker Satellite Network, Iowa, Kansas, 67070. While you're at it, purchase my book, Behold a Pale Horse. Behold a Pale Horse. $24 includes postage and handling. $24, that includes postage and handling. To the Becker Satellite Network, Iowa, Kansas, 67070. Again, we urge you, do not believe anything you hear on this program, on Tom Valentine's program, on Chuck Carter's program, on Rush Limbaugh's program, on Larry King's program, from Dan Rather, from Ted Koppel, from George Bush, from Bill Clinton, from H. Ross Perot, or from indeed your own mother, unless you have done real research, real investigation, and can confirm that what you're hearing or reading is correct. If you do not do that, you will always be someone else's puppet on a string, and when they pull the string, you will jump right on cue, just as you have always jumped right on cue throughout history. Information, not money, is the power of 90s, and only those who are well-informed will survive the coming years. Good night, and God bless you all.
Good morning, the world is round, what's new?
From high in the sky, worldwide PSA.
You're listening to the Becker Satellite Network.
I am your host, William Cooper. This program is sponsored by the Becker Satellite Network on SpaceNet 2, Channel 7, 7.5 audio. For those of you who have a satellite dish, you can hear this show on the Becker Satellite Network Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Becker Satellite Network is the only alternative satellite radio network. Don't miss it.
You're tuned to the Becca Satellite Network.